My name is Core. I'm one of two associate pastors here at Hope, and Steve is right now, getting on his newly purchased eBay auction Victory motorcycle. He's hopping on it right now in Colorado and going to be taking a two-day trek driving it home. So pray for him, safety. I'm sure Carol and the boys would like to see their dad come back alive. Pray that he comes back. Because if you know anything about Steve, like a Victory motorcycle in Colorado, I mean, that's just like, that is near heaven. It's not heaven, but it's as close as you can get on earth for Steve. So just pray that he'd come back. I want to see the guy again. But he's getting a well-deserved vacation. In the past few months, we did two pretty powerful, heart-gripping type of sermon series. The first one was Don't Waste Your Life. We talked very openly about things you could do to just waste your life. And we tried to give examples of ways that we could just live for God, not waste our life. But that's hard because it requires us to actually look and examine how we've been living. Look at what the Bible says about living. See if there's any incongruency, any difference. And then make the choice, the decision to change. And then the most recent one we did was be killing sin or it will be killing you. We just kind of gloss things over here. I hope happy, happy, joy, joy. This was a very difficult sermon series for everybody. For the ones that were on stage preaching, for those that were in there listening, it's tough. Very convicting. Found myself opening up areas just like, oh yeah, oh, why do I struggle with that? And taking time to just look at that and kill sin in our lives. So I thought, what can we do next? You know, that series ended this way. What can we do next? Could I potentially find a more difficult topic, a more convicting topic? And I did. No, I didn't. We're in a time where it's going to be pastor's open mic for a little while here, and I'm really excited for the topic today. I'm going to help you, for those of you who have been attending Hope, hopefully give you further reason and foundation for why you're here. And for those who might be newer to Hope, be checking out Hope, hopefully give you just a clear explanation of who we are, what we're trying to do, and then you can make a quick decision whether it's like, I'm out of here, or like, hey, I'll stick around. So if wherever you're at, hopefully this connects with you. I want to start with a shopping list. It's of the church variety. We're going church shopping. That's a pretty new phenomenon, I think, in church history. Back in the day, you go to the church that's in your city. You know, you didn't drive like 40 miles past like 80 other churches to go to a church. You just down the road. It's the community church. It's the church of our city. But this is a pretty recent phenomenon. It's where kind of I grew up in. But I began at Abiding Savior Lutheran Church. Anybody? Abiding Savior Lutheran Church, New Brighton area. No one? Yes, one hand back there. So that's where I grew up. All I remember about Abiding Savior Lutheran Church is if my buddy didn't show up, we were like, you know, young. I was baptizing an infant there and kind of grew up and doing the classroom thing. And if my buddy didn't show up, that was just the worst. I mean, it was just like death. Like, this is going to take forever. I'm never going to get out of here. And then the other thing I remember is they had like the decoration in the front area was like rocks that were embedded into concrete. You guys ever been in those kind of old churches? I just remember just like touching the walls, like waiting for my parents to like be done talking. That's it. That's all I got from my memories of that church. So I had to keep going shopping because that was just not enough to keep me. So my parents brought me then to Incarnation Lutheran Church. Anybody? Anybody? Another? No way. Are you serious? Yeah. All right. So Incarnation is like, here's my middle school, here's the church, and so like for confirmation class, it's just very easy to walk across the soccer field and get to confirmation class. So we should go to church there. You know, that was basically what required the decision, was it was close there. And so I went there, and for those of you who don't know about Incarnation, we have a killer bell choir. I'm serious. Like, one of the best. They travel, this bell choir. They're big time. I never was in the bell choir, so I can't claim any part of that fame, but I went there, and I got confirmed in ninth grade, and what I understood that to mean was that was when you got to be done doing church, because I never saw any other high schoolers, like, in my church, so that was basically the exit, and for kind of the mid to late high school years, there was nothing, no church experience for me, not until my freshman year at college, life falls apart. All right, God, I'm open to you. And so a guy that I knew from a friend brought me to Eagle Brook Church. Anybody Eagle Brook Church? Folks out there from Lionel Lakes or White Bear Lake? Yep, got the hands. Okay. Eagle Brook Church. This is was in White Bear Lake. Used to be the First Baptist Church of White Bear Lake. Became Eagle Brook. I don't know when that happened. 90s, I guess. And now they've gone to Lionel Lakes, and they have three different campuses. Thousands. I mean, mega church, you know, up to date, killer website, all the bells and whistles on the mega church. And this was the first place where I saw somebody raise their hand during the worship service. And it just freaked me out. I was just like, what is going on? And I like had to like elbow my buddy, and like I like pointed. Like, I'm, you know, in the Lutheran church I grew up in, it's like, that doesn't happen. So, like, what is it? I had to literally, like, ask him. This is me starting to explore God again and trying to understand who God is, and this church thing, and it used to be just boring, and I didn't understand it, and I didn't understand what they said, and now I come to this, and it's supposed to be, like, a great church, and then there's people, like, raising their hands, and I don't know what that means. And so he tried to help me understand that, and I don't know if I was just freaked out, but I'm just like, I'm out of here. I'm not going there. So then I went over with a different buddy to Vine Evangelical Free Church. Nobody. Little church in South Minneapolis, Pastor Stu. Love him. Great guy. Great guy. Great pastor over, and we still know a couple people over there. And this was the first place where I had to, like, bring my Bible to church. And they'd pull it out, like, at different parts of the service and just say, all right, now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 4. And I'm still young in my faith. I don't know much about God. And Matthew chapter 4, okay. My friend that I went with grabs the Bible out of my hand, goes right to it, puts it back in my lap. I'm like, thank you. Gotta help me out here. I don't know where Matthew is. I kept shopping, okay? Kept shopping. I ended up with another buddy, different buddy, at Woodland Hills Church. Greg Boyd, I think they're in Maplewood now. They were by Goodrich Golf Course. That's really all I remember for a while. Oh, man, that guy, he'd always walk across the stage like this as he was preaching. Brilliant scholar, reads, writes, traveler, speaker, very accomplished, and huge gospel choir, multiracial, singing, lighting the place up. I don't have things. I just kept shopping. I don't have anything bad to say. Just kept shopping. I ended up with one of the guys that was discipling me. I ended up at Bethlehem Baptist. Anybody heard of Bethlehem Baptist right down the road here? Hope has a tie to Bethlehem, so I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Steve was an intern at Bethlehem before starting Hope Community. And I went to Bethlehem, and this guy, John Piper, who's the preaching pastor over there, he used big words. Big words. Words that I had never heard of. Words that he would speak and not pause after he said them to draw attention to the fact that they were big words, and not stop to explain what the big word meant. And so, like, there was, you know, a sermon given, and the guy that I went with was just like, that was just fantastic. I didn't know what else to do, so I just nodded along, like, yeah, it was great. Didn't know what he was saying. I couldn't understand it. So the next stop was Hope Community Church, where they use little words. And if they ever use big words, they help me to understand them. So I found my church home here at Hope back in the late 90s and stopped shopping. But if I were to keep shopping, I'd check out this list of churches. I was on the Acts 29 website, which is a church planting network. Look at the names of some of these churches. This is crazy. These people that start these churches, they're weird. They'll tell you they're creative. They're not. They're weird. Okay? They use Greek words and say, come to our church. We're called Kaleo. And you're like, what? And I've actually met the pastor of that guy. He really is pretty cool. So I'd go to Kaleo, you know? But my goodness, am I going to, you know? So, and then I went on, what one? L raised to the power of 2 church. It was listed on the website as L2 church. I went to the website, it was L to the power of 2. So I've made the clarification here. I'm a pastor. I should know what L raised to the power of 2 is. I got no idea. None. So I go to the website. I'm going to figure this out. This could be really good. This could just be the way they cast vision, what they're trying to do, bringing in all sorts of weird people into their church. Nowhere does it explain what L2 means. I still don't know what L2 means. Scum of the earth church. Hollywood Church. It actually is in Hollywood. So, 1:21 church. Anybody know what that means? Back to the future. What does that mean? For those that couldn't hear, we have a guess. I said, what does 1.21 mean? He said, Back to the Future. I said, what do you mean? 1.21 gigawatts from Back to the Future. Wrong. But I think I like that better. No, this is they're saying we are trying to connect the first century in which Jesus lived to the 21st century. But you got to explain that every time you say your church. You have to, I think, don't you? You have to explain that. So I think I'd go check out a couple of these churches. I'm not going anywhere, though. But these are all outside of Minnesota. See, I was strategic. I was thinking on it. So if you're moving, you know, go check out one of those churches. But a few years ago, Steve did a sermon series on church. Why bother? Why bother going to church? And then he listed out 7 issues that many people have with the church. Okay? And I'm taking that same logo and that same question and essentially saying, why would people go to this church? As you're shopping for churches or thinking about maybe changing churches, why would you stay here at Hope? I'll give you 5 reasons, as I've gotten coffee over the past 4 years as a pastor here, why other people have stayed at Hope. First one, this is what people have said. We keep God central in all that we do. It ain't about us, it's about Him. That's what people have gleaned as they've come and they've taken part of worship service and they've taken part of the time after and throughout the week, small groups and men's ministry and women's ministry and children's ministry and all that's going on here at Hope. People are saying, you know, we get this vibe that it's about God. And we're like, sweet, that's the vibe we want to give. And if you hear nothing else this morning, hear that. It is about God. It's not about us. It's not about the band. It's not about me or Steve, leadership team, overseer team. It's not about you guys. Ultimately, what we're trying to create and experience and build and grow here at Hope is people that are excited about God and want to have Him number one in their personal lives, in their relational lives, in their church life. We want to keep God central in all we do. And people have said, that's why I keep coming back. Because that's what I want in my life. And that's what I want my church to be about. So I hope and pray that that continues to be a mark of this church. Number two, we take the Bible seriously. We take time to preach, teach, and explain it. And so that kind of, in me, invokes the question, like, have you experienced churches that don't do that? Yeah. Yeah, we've been a part of churches that don't do that. And it's heartbreaking to hear as a pastor. But we, you know, sit around staff meetings. We talk about maybe a sermon that we preach or something that we're going to teach in a Bible study. It's, all we got is the Word. It's like, I got nothing else to share. I'm not that smart. I like little words. I use the Bible a lot. Number three, we take culture seriously. We work hard to find connecting points with people who are just kicking the tires of Christianity, didn't know what that phrase meant. You're trying to figure out if you want to take the car. It's like, oh, you mean like checking under the hood? Yeah, kicking the tires, checking under the hood. You're just trying to figure out, do I want to follow Christ? Do I want to pursue this Christianity thing? Why is it different than other religions? How does it apply to my everyday life? Hopefully here, there is an environment. This is a group of people, people that you sit around. This can be a place where if you're just checking out, where you're trying to ask big questions. People said, that's why I keep coming back. You've made it a place where I can do that. I experienced that. Getting a bagel with Steve, asking questions. If I didn't know where something was in the Bible, I could just ask. And people would help me, you know. Number four, we have created an atmosphere of authenticity. This is, for many people, huge because they've experienced churches or Christians that haven't been that. And so when they come into Hope and they experience that, it really is a draw for many people. Number five, we've created a place where people feel welcome. We hope it's also a part of who we are and what people experience when they meet us. I genuinely love meeting somebody new. I could never get tired of that. Just meeting somebody new, asking questions about them. I met Andrew today. It's just, I want to take that guy out for coffee and just tell me, how did you get to where you're at and those aspirations that you have and those dreams you have. I just love that. I know we're all wired a little bit differently. Some of you are more internally driven, and that just makes you cringe to have to meet somebody new. But as Hope, as a church, as a group of people, hopefully, the vibe we are creating is that we want to meet people, man. We want to welcome people in. Something I love to do, love to be a part of. That's five reasons why many people come to this church, stay at this church. Why might you stay at this church? It might be one of those things. Let me give you a couple other reasons why you might stay at this church. Hope started in 1996 with Steve, Carol, and 12 other people. And they were on the U of M campus meeting in Stadium Village Presbyterian Church, which is right directly across the street from four giant dorms over on the U of M campus. And they had a dream to start a church that would reach people like me. People who want to start taking God seriously, but they have no idea how to do it. What would that look like? What are my first steps? And then build those people and help them to grow and help them to understand things about God. So much so that maybe someday they could lead others. That person could help others grow and develop and take their first steps. And then eventually that this thing would continue to grow and blossom and flourish and reproduce. And the vision that Hope has had is that we want to honor God by helping as many people as possible become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That is a stamp on our church. That is the brand That is what we want out there constantly. There are churches, they're going to have other passions. They're excited about other things. This is what Hope's excited about. Other churches might say, we are giving ourselves, we're pouring ourselves into racial unity. We want to bring races together. And so how we create a service and what we preach about in our smaller groups and what we're trying to do in the community, that's what we're about. That's what we're excited about. Everything's geared around that. You're going to have other people that are just, man, we are so excited about issues related to gender and manhood and womanhood, and we are going to build a church, and that's going to be everything. All of our ministries are going to be directed and pointed towards that, that people understand who they are as a man, as a woman, in light of God and what God has said in His Bible. And so that's everything to us. For Hope, this is everything. Number one, it's not about us, it's about God. We want to honor God. And it's a very Matthew 28:20, that's where Jesus basically says to the people that were following Him, says, all right, what I've been doing, I've trained you, I've developed you, I've grown you, now you get to go do it. And you're going to make other followers, other disciples that know how to follow Me. Later on in Acts chapter 1, he says, all right, I'm going to give you My Spirit. Wait until I give you My Spirit. But when I do, then you're going to be witnesses, eyewitnesses. You're going to go out and tell people what you've seen, what you've heard, and help them to learn about Me. And so for us, we're very focused on what Jesus told those first followers. We want to be right there. The plan hasn't changed. The goal hasn't changed. So we want to honor God by helping as many people as possible become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Fully devoted followers, in our minds, is not just a one-time decision. A wing and a prayer, you know. I love the four spiritual laws. It really helps people understand. The first one saying, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Two, sin separates you from God. Separates you. Great chasm between you and God because you've sinned against Him. Three, Jesus Christ bridges that gulf. He's made a way for us to now connect with God. Number four, believe it. Receive that. Invite Him into your life, into your heart, being Lord and Savior of your life. And then as you do that, that sets you on the course to become fully devoted in every year of your life in following Him. You can spend the rest of your life understanding those simple four laws right there. So that's what we're trying to do. How are we trying to do this? Okay? Who's leading this thing? Where's this ship going? What's this all about? We believe, and this is biblically what we believe, but also it's in our documents, like it shows that we believe. We believe Jesus Christ is leading this church. Some of you just were like, all right, that's a little weird. I'm from church, but I don't know about that. How's that all work out? We literally have, in our documents, we have a spreadsheet that lists out direct reports and who's under who and who reports to who. Everybody reports to Jesus Christ. If you trace the chain of command up high enough, at the top is Jesus. Okay? He's at the top. Everybody's serving Him. We're working for Him. Not working for all these other people. Ultimately, when you trace it all back, we're working for the Lord, not for men. Not for Steve Treichler. He my boss. I got to report to him. But ultimately, it comes back to Jesus Christ. Okay? What does that look like? How is Jesus leading the church? In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle. Jesus is an apostle. Jesus is a church starter. Jesus is out there wanting His name to spread through the witness of people and as they gather together through the church. He's going to start churches because He wants people to know about Him. He's also the chief shepherd. He's the senior pastor. He's the senior pastor at this church. Okay? It says this in 1 Peter 5. Peter exhorts all the elders of these churches. And then ultimately he gets down and he says, be examples to the flock. Why? Because when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. The chief shepherd being Jesus. He's not just an apostle. He's not just the senior pastor. He's the head of the church. In the Bible, when we're talking about the church, often it's described as a body, as a living body, an organism that's working and moving and has its being. with Jesus Christ as the head. In Colossians 1 and 2, it lists this. Just says, He is the head of the body. He's the head of the church. The beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent, might be first. He's the head. He's first. He's tops. He grows and builds the church from Matthew 16. Jesus talking to Peter says, On this rock I will build my church. I'm going to be the one who builds my church. You want to be a pastor in my church? You want to be a small group leader? Awesome. Praise God. I'm doing the building. And then last point under this, Jesus leading the church. Jesus shuts a church down for becoming faithless and or fruitless. Revelation 2, he says, he's speaking to the church at Ephesus and he says, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent. Do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Jesus is leading this church. As we continue to seek him, he'll be faithful to us and grow this thing, spreading his name. Not so that we can get a name for ourselves. Hey, isn't Hope a great church? Doesn't matter. This is all captured in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16, where it says, Grace was given to each one of us. Definitely the church at Ephesus, but I would say believers, those who follow Christ all the time, grace has been given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Skipping down a little bit, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? Why did he do that? Why did he give that grace? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God. He said, I'm going to put leaders. Jesus Christ is going to commission leaders who are then going to look and train up and build up and raise up others to be his hands and feet at work in the world. Continuing on, he says, ultimately a goal of mature manhood. Think of that. Think of mature manhood. The church growing into Jesus Christ, understanding, reaching unity in the faith, knowledge of who God is. And ultimately the goal, the end being, you're a mature man. You're a mature woman. You've done it. That's what we're aiming for here at Hope as we follow under the leadership of Jesus Christ. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Man, there's a lot of wind of doctrine out there. Whew! By human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Every day you are trying to be schemed and deceived. Every day, many moments in the day, you're trying to be deceived and schemed. To believe something that's not true. To trust a lie. To find life in something, someone outside of God. Every day. Our culture is relentless. And he says, but rather speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working together properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And it's not just that we can get people working here at Hope. I don't think that's one of our goals. I don't think my goal is to take you and just, we have a hole to fill here, and so will you fill that void? That's not my goal. I don't like that type of ministry. But what I feel like is being said here is that each one of us has a place in which if we're to become a mature church, it'll take each one of us. Everyone has some place. Maybe it's this hole, maybe it's not, but each one of us has a place at the table here in God's church. Interestingly enough, part of this is quoted in the Old Testament and talks about this story in which basically God's people, there's this nation that God has chosen in the Old Testament called Israel, and Israel is out and they're trying to fulfill what God has called them to do. And the task in front of them is just overwhelming. Overwhelming. Just can't be done in human eyes. It's seemingly impossible. and God does a great work. But God does not complete the work in that time. Something happens and it falls to a person that was back at camp. Okay, they were marching out this way. And if this thing is going to find its fulfillment, its completion, somebody back at camp has to spend 15 seconds fulfilling their role. That person does. And it's a great day in Israel's history. Because that person took their role, they found their niche. When God came asking them to help, they helped. And they did it. So under the leadership of Jesus Christ, God is putting all these body parts in order that's going to bless him. For us, we have different layers of leadership here that are trying to understand, God, what are you saying to us at Hope? Corner of 7th and 10th and our natural networks of relationships and at our job. Help Hope Community. How do we understand what God is trying to say? One layer of leadership is the overseer team, the elder team. They are responsible for the theology, the vision. Where do we feel like God is calling us? How are we going to protect ourselves from all these deceitful schemes and all this cunning and the craftiness, these different arguments? They're going to shepherd the flock. If people are in sin, we're going to talk to them. We're going to help them. We're going to encourage them. We're going to do everything we can to get them right with God. That's the responsibility of the overseer and the elder team. Leadership team. Group of about 20 people that plan, organize, lead, and evaluate everything here. All the different ministries, what we're doing, special events, they do that. They're working hard. And they meet almost monthly to figure out what that's going to look like. How they're going to take some visions and dreams that the overseers have and feel like God is leading to. What does that look like practically? That's our leadership team's job. The staff. There's a staff board out here. It has pictures of our staff. Encourage every single one of them. They are incredible. Do a great job around here at Hope. We have intern staff that are coming in this August. Find them, meet them, encourage them, bless them. Every one of them is doing a spiritual job. I don't care what it looks like, what their job title says. Each of them is fulfilling a role as part of this church, and it's a spiritual impact that they're having. And the last layer of leadership is use guys. In our denomination, we're part of a couple different denominations, the Baptist General Conference, locally that looks like the Minnesota Baptist Conference, and the Evangelical Free Church of America. And in these denominations, in these traditions, there's a certain independence that comes. That's one of the distinctives. Another one is that we baptize believers, people who can say, I believe in God. So we don't baptize them. That's another distinctive. A third distinctive is we believe in a priesthood of believers. Is the formal theological term. Essentially what that means is you're all a priest, you're all a pastor, you're all an apostle, you're all working towards growing this church, developing others, connecting with people, bringing them in. This is not just my job because I'm on staff, or Bart's job because he's an elder, or Kara's job because she's a deacon. All of us together as a body working together, showing leadership to one another and to people that are watching. Those that don't understand God, don't believe in God, can't think of spiritual things. Like for me, that was like first 18 years of my life, I couldn't see spiritually, I didn't understand. People would talk about God and I'd just be like, you feel God. What does that mean? You know, I just get mad. Like, what does that mean you feel God? God told me. It's like, what do you mean God told you? It's baloney. You know, but for those who don't think that way, can't see that way, you're all they got. A visible, tangible, it's like you do something that just blows their mind. They're like, why did you do that? What's that all about? And you're able to articulate them about your faith in Christ. We want you. We need you guys. And what we're learning, Steve and I and Seth, the pastoral staff, and as we get together as an executive staff, and as Hope grows, as we start being faced with the challenges that come with that, we feel a certain helplessness to do anything about it. It's like our influence and our ability to work and put in hours and serve only reaches so far. And at some point, The invitation has to be thrown up to there. How are you guys going to build this church? How are you going to be a part of growing this church? Because there's only so much that the pastoral staff can do, only so much that the group of elders can do, the group on the leadership team, there's only so much they can do. And then it trickles down to the body. And you might be thinking, I'm new here. When we took the survey, there were like 600 respondents, and I think 300 respondents had just started attending Hope in the last year. So if you've been at Hope for over a year, you know, you're not a rookie anymore. You're a veteran, you know, in this whole Hope Church thing. So, but wherever you're at, does it matter? Does your involvement matter? Does your chipping in matter? And I'd say yes. I get this from 1 Corinthians 11. It says, for the body does not consist of one member, but many members. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Okay? I'm not a pastor. I'm not an elder. I'm not in a leadership team. I got this idea, though. It's like, all right, let's see if that idea can become a reality. Let's talk about that. Let's see. I only have 15 minutes a week. Praise God. Let's see what God wants to do with that 15 minutes a week. I trust He wants to use it. And is it so that Hope can get a name? No. I'm sure Jesus can use that 15 minutes to draw attention to Himself. Doesn't matter where you're at. You can't say, well, I'm not a hand. Doesn't count. Jesus says that's not good enough. You got to come up with a better, excuse. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing be, okay? Every one of us is important. This is not just like pop culture make you feel good. This is biblical. Everyone important to building up of his body, to mature manhood. Every one of us has a role to play. Okay? As it is, God arranged the members in the body. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Can't do that. I don't need a piano player. I have no need. You know? Everyone. As you become a believer, God gives every one of us a gift, a spiritual gift, at least one, to be used for His glory. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Those that are hidden, those that are behind the scenes, indispensable. What do I mean by that? Janet is a tender here at Hope, and Janet had a brain bleed Wednesday. Is that right, Suzanne? Wednesday? Can I just have like six people just raise hands if they'd pray for Janet as I talk about this? She had a brain bleed on Wednesday. That'd be great. Okay. Awesome. Just as I'm sharing this story, if you'd mind just lifting up Janet. Janet had a massive brain bleed on Wednesday and 6 hours of surgery. And by God's grace, she's doing really well. I visited her and Seth and Jesse visited her on Thursday. And they're kind of pulling her off sedation. And that was obviously a difficult thing for her, trying to understand where she is and what's going on. And, get an update that she's doing very well, able to identify people, talk to people, which, as if you know any, I mean, that's huge. That is just so awesome and just an incredible story of God's love. I was talking to the nurse, Kate, there, and just hearing and learning about what is this? How does this happen? You know, how is she fine one day and then next day just not? And so she shared a little bit, and I've added to that just looking at Wikipedia. And basically it's just we have veins, arteries running all over. And then there's certain parts where you can just, you know, when we're talking veins or arteries, we're talking about basically a millimeter width, you know, of an artery. So if you like look at a crack of your hand, that's probably about a millimeter. So that's how teeny these little things are, okay? And somewhere it just weakens. And that weakening of it and that stretchiness of it causes obviously a decrease in blood flow, which powerfully impacts the brain and the brain's functions. And where we would not, I don't often pray for good blood flow in my arteries or in my veins, but just that one little part of the brain needing to be strong so that the rest of the body can function, so that it can do what it was called to do, which is carry blood to the brain so the brain can function and give the body life. And just weakening just in that little part impacts the whole body. And we're praying for Janet. And I think man, praise God for how much God has healed her. And I think that is one description of the body, which I think God is trying to promote here and help us to understand that little vein, that little artery, it's indispensable. Unseen. Not thought about. When you go in for a routine checkup, they don't check the vein in the artery. And then it finishes with, members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So with that, where are we going as a church with that mentality where we're all in it, we're following the leadership of Christ, and we have these different layers of leadership, and they're laying out vision and strategy, and we're all trying to, every one of us, be a part of this. I want to lay out six things that the overseers are on the minds of the overseers that we put out on a paper and said, Hope Community, this is what we're thinking about. This is what we're thinking when we're talking advancing the kingdom. You got this? No, go back one. I like that picture. Mayhem, it's on. Destruction, it's on. Immunitize, pushing the button, which is explosion. So, all right. So how are we trying to do this? How are we trying to push the button there? Number one, how do we prevent limitations of this building? Parking lot, can I get an amen? How are we going to keep that from impacting what we're trying to do for God? Building up His body, us becoming mature, us making disciples, honoring God by helping as many people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. How are we going to prevent those limitations from impacting ministry? What can we do? We're thinking about that. We want you to be thinking about that. If you have a lot of money and want to buy a parking ramp, we want to know about that. That could help us. If you know somebody who owns a parking ramp, you know, talk to us. We have needs to remodel classroom space. Children's ministry is just bursting at the seams. Every time that you walk to that, you drive to that parking ramp when there's a Vikings game, you walk and you come back joyfully, that blesses this ministry. You're furthering this ministry of hope because you're not letting that keep you from worshiping here, being a part of the body here. Just so you know, it's a big deal and it really helps us. And when you do that and there's a parking spot here available for somebody new, that's all a part of this thing. Limited funding. We've always been a church that's kind of bordered on the edge. We're reaching college students. We want to reach college. That's not going to change. They're not wealthy yet. So we got to be creative with how we're using our fundings. Number two, how do we persevere in contextualizing and contending for the gospel? Big words there. Contending. Basically saying, there's a book called Jude, and it says, the faith that's been once for all entrusted to the saints. We have a faith that we feel like is unchanging. It was handed down from Christ through the generations, and it doesn't change. The big deal, the cross, and we love that, and we want to keep that, and it's not going to change, and the Spirit is moving and helping people understand that thing and what Jesus is doing. And so we want to contend for that. But 121, we're in the 21st century, and we need to talk about it differently than they did back then. Or even 100 years ago, or 40 years ago, or they didn't have Facebook 10 years ago. I mean, 10 years ago? Yeah. So, how are we going to contextualize that? How are we going to speak so people can understand that? Okay? You're going to help us with that. Okay? You're going to help us understand and pursue this target audience, this 18 to 28-year-olds who are kind of unchurched, and it's your job to meet them and greet them and welcome them in and tell them about Christ and help them to make it understandable from where they're coming from. Okay? How are we going to raise them up and grow them up? They're young punks. We're going to give them the church in a couple years, you know? We need them to be able to lead this thing. So how are we going to do that? and this type of sheep. There's just a lot of issues that go with reaching 18 to 20 year old, 8-year-olds out from mom and dad. They're just sin issues, relational issues, haven't had a good model, haven't had a good example, don't know anything about Christ. That's tough. We need your help. Okay, so how are we going to contend and contextualize? How are vision and mission consistently communicated? Through a sermon, yeah, but we don't do this every week, you know? So how are we going to do that? How are we going to live out our that vision to honor God by helping as many people as possible become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ? How are we going to get that? So that's branded on your mind. So you have that in your mind as you walk through on a Sunday morning and you're going to small group and you're doing men's ministry, you're playing floor hockey. We want that continually on your mind. How are we going to do that? How are we going to get that branded on our hearts so that's in the forefront of our head, forefront of our thinking when we're doing anything? How are we going to do that? How are we going to live out our core? How are we going to start churches? The overseers just want to start a bunch of churches. How are we going to do that? How do you want to help with that? Can you help us? We'd love it. We'd love help. You want to be a planter? Come talk to us. If you have music skills, girls like guys with great skills. I don't have music skills. If you got music skills, talk to us. We need worship leaders. People are going to infuse the music in these places. We need leaders. People want to go into a place where there's been no church and do that thing. How are we going to get it so that all ministries, all that we're doing, have this vision and mission in mind? For how do we adapt from a family to a family-owned business? We've been a family. I was looking back. When I went to get this Church Why Bother logo, I went back, and that was, I think, in the year 2000. And I looked at the schedule of events, and it was like every third event was at the Treichler household. It was just like, everybody's going to the Treichlers, you know? And we're the size where that would work. And now we're, can we still do that, Carol? Can we? No. We can't pack 500 people, you know, and at the Treichlers. So how are we going to do that? Lots of things are impacted by that. In fact, impacts employee, you know, management of employees, people, facilities, finances, administration, appointments. There's just a lot herding all these cats. So how are we going to do that? And how are we going to measure if we're doing well or not? Are we just, what does that look like? So that's, how can we bless our city? We that was part of the Don't Waste Your Life series. We had a sermon, we had a Sunday. So you see some of this vision being carried out in ministry. How can we continue to bless our city? Reaching out to others, urban partnerships, starting churches in the inner city. What does that look like? You want to be a part of that? We'd love it. And then finally, how will we ensure adequate staffing and leadership to carry out our vision and mission here at Hope? Just that the staff and leadership wouldn't get burned out. They'd get excited. That we'd be putting them in positions where we talk about 80% sweet spot, you know, where 4 to 5 times they're just really loving what they're doing. And then expanding LDI to become a full-blown church planting, pastor, missions, agency, development thing. Just a lot of stuff. If you're excited about any of that, this might be the place for you. That's where we're going. That's what we're trying to do in honoring God. So with that, that's a little bit about Hope. And for those of you who've been here, I hope that gives you a great desire to continue on, or maybe even get more plugged in or more involved. Or say, I can take 15 minutes, or I'll find a way to be a part of what God's doing. And if you're church shopping, maybe that'll cause you to stay. Maybe that's the exact thing you needed here to say, hey, sounds great, not for me. Wherever you're at, if you have a question, comment, I'd love to talk to you about it after the service. But think about it. Think about how many you got here. 250, 300, 350. Let's say there's 350 people. Think about the impact. Think about the potential that exists from the people in this room taking a little bit of time. Not a lot. Just a little bit of time. And the impact that that could have in this church for us beginning to grow into maturity. Not only that, but how that could impact a city as we start to do these things that we're dreaming and praying about. Think about the potential that exists just in this room today. Will you pray with me?
God, this is your church, and so lead us, God. We need you. We can't do without you. Continue to give us vision, understanding for where you're taking us, and just help each of us to see that we do have a role, a part to play in your body, that not one of us is dispensable. Not one of us can be cast aside. We need each one of us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.